first thing we did was we worked with the engineer and the architects who had worked on the renovation of the building to place some beams that span the roof. There's sort of an illusion from the street that the sculpture sits on the roof itself. It actually is just, it's a sort of sets above the roof by about 3 feet on two big I-beams. And then from there, it was my job to kind of, you know, based on my own experience, sort of specify the diameter of the circles, the way they would be constructed, the thickness of the material, and then how they would be attached to each other. So in this particular case, there's actually two different thicknesses of steel. The larger cylinders are made out of a steel that's almost 3/16 of an inch. I get that material in strips that are 12 by 120 inches long. They're drilled and then rolled to the appropriate radius of the cylinder we're trying to build. So then we, back in my studio in Hamilton, we fabricated the components. The sculptures all are built of these sort of rings or strips, almost like you might build a barrel. We roll those to radius. We bolt them together. We work from the floor up until we reach the height we want. Each of those cylinders is approximately 80 inches in depth. Once those were built, they were transported to Lexington. And then, you know, even at that, we had a sort of plan on how the cylinders would be arranged. But I would say that probably in every case of, you know, me building this kind of work over the last, you know, 12 years, there's always a little bit of improvisation involved that, you know, you estimate that a circle's going to fit together in a certain way, but in actuality, the way they respond to each other and the pressure and the weight and so on dictates that the arrangement is slightly different. In that way, it's a little bit like building a stone wall or, you know, putting up a wood pile for the winter. You know, your first job is to make sure that you pick the pieces that fit best, and, you know, your first job is to make sure it doesn't fall down. And then the aesthetics from that are kind of consequential.
Why a roof? It would seem like you could pick a more visible location than on top of a building.
I don't know. It just sort of seemed to make sense as a kind of architectural feature in that location, right? There was a kind of a space there that could be utilized for a sculpture of a particular form. You know, it does remove it some way, you know, from the installations of my other work in which people have a more direct interaction. But as an artist, you're always looking for, or I'm always looking for, different kinds of challenges or settings. You know, it's sort of how you find out how things work.
And you've created a metaphor in which the community supports this artwork, but the artwork also brings the community together.
Yeah, I would hope so. You know, the buttress is an interesting architectural feature. You know, without the buttress, the wall doesn't stand, but the buttress would have no purpose or able to stand without the wall either. So it's kind of an interesting structural tension. And, buttresses sort of shoulder a building, right? They keep it from falling down. And I think that, you know, in my role as a university professor, I mean, I sort of make this argument that culture sort of buttresses community, right? That is, it's a way in which we figure things out, right? It's a place that communities have to make space for. They have to also support. I mean, you can't have one without the other, right? And they both perform important roles. And I think they're in a functioning community. You have, you know, these kind of strong institutions that, you know, are a belief in that arts are important, and the arts in turn help communities understand and see issues in new ways, or, you know, experience things that they wouldn't normally otherwise.
It's a distinct artwork, solid in its own cause, but it's also going to fit into a bigger scheme of artworks, I guess, are going to have this common tie around Lexington, I guess, kind of expounding on that metaphor.
Yeah, I think the hope is that, you know, my piece and the piece by Bill Fontana, the down at the Fifth Third Bank building, you know, are the beginnings of a kind of public art collection that Lexington can distinguish itself as a city that, you know, values, you know, public art. And I think particularly what public art can do, public art is distinct from a gallery experience where, you know, if you go into a gallery or museum, you're sort of prepared to see a work of art, right? You may, whether you like it or not, you, when you cross that threshold, you kind of know what you're in for. Public art exists in a much more fluid and kind of egalitarian way. You just experience it. And it's often in places, you know, particularly in the case of my sculpture, that you don't expect it to be. And therefore, it's part of a kind of a notion of public space or people's experience that, you know, that can't be avoided, right? I mean, you have to come to terms with it in some way. You know, I think it's a good thing. I think it's, you know, I believe in that, you know, artwork can illuminate things or help us re-see the familiar in ways other things can't.
Well, safe travels to you.
Okay, thank you very much.